Rebecca Jernigan, your tour guide into discoveries, coming to you live simulcast from the heart of America to around the globe via the World Wide Web, terrestrial radio, satellite, and podcast. Let's journey together into the realms of the unknown to the known in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. All right, I am here in the studio in the heart of America, Kansas City, broadcasting live and heard on the Journeys with Rebecca Radio Network and all of my great affiliates. So check them out. Go to the website, journeyswithrebecca.com, and thank you for tuning in. Okay, now to keep up with all the changes going on, please be sure while you're there at the website to check and read the Journeys News section. Now, here in Kansas City, it's been snowing all day, and that really puts us into the holiday spirit. I truly love this time of the year. I'm almost done with my plans for spending the time with my family and loved ones. And it is a time, too, where we all look forward to the new year. And I have some items here to share with you about the Journeys with Rebecca radio show for 2008. In January, first off on January 5th, there will be a two-hour call-in show. I refer to it as an open mic night where we can chat about just about anything, such as earth changes, 2012, spiritual growth, again, just about anything. And I'm going to also let you know now about a couple of guests that I'll be having on. Michael Tesserian will be in January 2008, and also Alex Jones will be with us, and he will be talking about his new movie, The End Times. So that's some of what's coming up on the radio show, but now for tonight, my guest is John J. Harper. Now, he is an electronics engineer, a clinical hypnotherapist, and futurist. His book that we're going to be talking about tonight is called Transformers, Shamans of the 21st Century. Now, John, desperately searching for scientific answers to his myriad of spiritual questions, he landed on some solid intellectual ground only after his paradoxically anchored himself to the Rosetta Stone of trance that unified the purpose of religion and science into one truth. Indeed, he learned that we all become fifth-dimensional beings of light with third eye open, psychic solar powers once again. Now, John saw that what astronomers define as solar cycle 24 between the Venus transits in 2004 and 2012, astrologers have symbolically portrayed as the external return of the sun god. Now, John's going to be with us this tonight for the whole 2 hours, so we will welcome your comments or questions on tonight's show. So definitely email me at mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com, or you can IM from Yahoo. The ID is Journeys with Rebecca. Now, that's all one word. And the chat line is open, so you, as you're listening to the conversations with my guests, you can interact with each other, but please respect the rules of the chat feature. And you can find that chat feature on the home page on the right side. Now, as I'm sitting here with my hot cup of coffee and staying warm, I'm getting ready for a great conversation with my guest tonight, so stay with us. For John J. Harper and Transformers, Shamans of the 21st Century, let's journey together.
Soul Learning Series, a set of principles for discovering your true self. Explore your past, your present, and your future. Read Your Never-Ending Life, Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series by author Sandy Andrew. Go to universallearningseries.com.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
All right, welcome back. And again, my guest this evening is John J. Harper. We're talking about his book called Transformers, Shamans of the 21st Century. It is a true story in which John had contact with a dead physicist colleague and telepathic communication that forced him to seek scientific answers to spiritual questions, such as the classics, who are we, why are we here, and where are we going? And he, for more than a decade, he has embarked on a spiritual quest of careful reflection and methodical research in abnormal physics and paranormal psychology. So let's welcome him to the show. Hi, John.
Good evening, Rebecca.
Oh, what a delight it is to have you here.
Thank you.
And I am so looking forward to tonight's conversation, because even the book, the name of it, Transformers, it's very interesting. The whole title itself is very interesting. And I know that you had a conversation with your colleague, and you put in quotation marks, dead. Did that mean he was actually passed over?
Yes.
Okay.
That's right. My whole entry into the metaphysical realm came as quite a shock because of the fact I was groomed as an engineer and scientist with the federal government for many years throughout the 60s, 70s, and well into the 1980s. And my friend was an optics physicist himself. His name was George Vigay, and George was from Plaquemine, Louisiana, and he and I had served in the military together in Alabama at the U.S. Army Missile Command, went to Europe together, and then returned to begin our careers with the federal government. But he suddenly died in November of 1987. 6 months later, I had an encounter with him that began the beginning of this odyssey and the writing of this book.
Well, when you say encounter, what do you mean by encounter?
Did it come
like when you were awake, asleep, or?
For me, what happened specifically was I awoke one morning in June 1988 to the sight of my friend who had died 6 months previously of a massive heart attack on the way to work one Monday morning back in November 1987
Wow.
in Huntsville, Alabama. And that shock initially led to requesting a transfer from Huntsville, Alabama to the Seattle, Washington area where I grew up. And I transferred from the U.S. Army to the U.S. Navy as an engineer and scientist. But again, this was about 6 months after his death in early June 1988, 4 a.m. One morning, I awoke to what I thought was a lucid dream. And I saw my friend George standing at the foot of my bed. He looked at me, he smiled, and my life has been changed ever since because I saw that we do not die.
You know what? That is so amazing you said that because my real father passed away when I was 15 years old, and it must have been about a week, maybe 10 days after he passed away. He manifested himself at the end of my bed, and we carried on a conversation just, you know, I knew he wasn't like totally, totally solid, but he still looked like my dad. He still dressed like my dad. He had some kind of depth to him. You know, density, I guess, is the way of us saying that. But, you know, there was still something ethereal about him as well. So I absolutely can relate to call it a lucid dream, whatever. I was wide awake. It was during the middle of the day, you know. So kind of interesting how that happens when we have experiences like that. It really does stay with you, that there is no separation between this physical world and the world beyond.
No, that's right. You know, in fact, you hit the key idea is vibration or frequency, as we would say in physics. But this is what I began to do then in the summer of 1988 and for many years thereafter until I finally brought my book forward here a year or so ago. But I wanted to look at this scientifically as well as spiritually, and that's what I did. Of course, now I know that I saw my friend George as a holographic image. And Carl Pribram, which was a neurologist at Stanford University, he was the one that brought this idea of a hologram or whole message to the scientific community's attention many years ago. But I think one of the things, Rebecca, that is significant about that, about a hologram, is that it is both an image inside of our head and also one that can be projected outside of our head. So, you know, we're somewhat familiar with holograms now from the movies and you know, different artistic ways we use light and lasers to project images. But back then, now this is 20 years ago, this was not known in the common literature, and we certainly didn't know it in the metaphysical community as a fact.
Okay, well, let's see. I've been doing a lot of work, my vision work has been doing some work with holograms. So when you said that, when you were talking about, are you saying that in the case of you talking to your friend and me talking to my father, that maybe that we projected that from us outwards to visualize that? Or was it their vibration that interjected their image for us to be able to perceive?
The basic idea goes back to the essence of physics in terms of energy and vibration. The law of physics, one of them in terms of energy, is you cannot create nor destroy energy, only transform it.
Correct.
Now, what that would mean to your question, and the way I would approach that is to say that we never lose anything. There's no image or idea or information that is ever lost to the universe. What there is a different frequency or wavelength that manifests, and that's what we term our visual or sensual reality, our physical reality. But in the spiritual realm, everything is omnipresent. There's what we call in physics non-local information. That means omnipresent. So we're kind of shielded, or if you will, there's a veil over us that we have to penetrate through the use of the third eye I discovered. And that's what where the idea of trance comes into this equation and my book title.
Well, you know, and I think that might be a good way for us to continue on is to talk about your definition of trance and that whole thing, because I found that really fascinating.
Well, the idea came to me because of the experience I had. When I saw my friend George, I realized that both I was seeing him, I guess you would say, with my mind's eye and also with my physical eyes, and I had to adjust my vision over a period of that minute or so that I had this telepathic encounter with my friend. In other words, I was hearing his voice inside my head at the same time I was trying to adjust my vision to seeing him outside of me, and I was realizing there was kind of a jump going on between inside and outside. So I realized that over time that what I was dealing with was trying to tune that frequency in to my mind and stabilize it. You know, the brain and the body is this incredible tuning device. And so what we're talking about is this sense that we can actually dial up, if you will, the other side.
I like that term, dial up. That's cute. I like that. And it's true. We can. Absolutely. Well,
yes, we can.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing that you talk about is when you get into this whole trance thing is... You say that every culture has a kind of an experience and an initiation into what you call the fifth dimension of a shaman's consciousness. So before we go on to that, though, define for people what your concept of a shaman is.
A shaman is someone that can bridge the two worlds, the physical and the spiritual, within themselves and still stay sane.
Oh, there you go. Now, that can sometimes be hard to do.
Because the shaman is someone that anthropologists studied initially and thought they were schizophrenic. That was the initial diagnosis of the medicine man, the medicine woman, was that the shaman was someone who had a schizophrenic crack-up and no longer dealt with reality but dealt with the other side, so to speak, and that was an imaginary realm that really only existed within the mind of the person. Now, with some sophistication and some further studies and anthropologists who lived among some of the Native American tribes and nations and other cultures, South America, for example, or the Australian Aborigines and so on and so forth, what they discovered over the last few decades was that the shamans was someone who had what we would call today an out-of-body or near-death experience from a very young age and was able to come back with that skill, that ability to open the third eye at will and walk between two worlds.
Okay, and you know what? That just opens up a whole other thing there, doesn't it, when you talk about that? You know, and you know, we won't get too far into it, but you know, like the medical field and specifically the mental health field and their diagnosis of people who are schizophrenic. I've actually known some people that were diagnosed as schizophrenic, and my thought process as I was with them and I was experiencing time with these people was that truly they had an open dialogue with whatever world they were interacting with. And they had a hard time in the sense that I'm talking about here in the medical terminology here, is that the schizophrenics really had a hard time in this, I guess you want to say, dimension or world, because people didn't understand that they were having conversations over here and they were shunned.
Yeah, and the same can be said with autism, with children, for example.
Oh, my goodness,
and,
yes.
And if we use this idea of dialing up a specific frequency of information, we can also say that would be a parallel dimension or a parallel world.
Right.
That is just as real as ours, only it's not solid here. Here's the idea, again, of the hologram being inside of us or outside of us. So the key, then, to mental health, I would say now, is to accept the realities of both sides, but be able to control that perception.
Well, you know, I was, as you were talking, I thought, gosh, this just could open up a whole bunch of what we would call a healing process, even though I don't think they're broken, okay? But a whole different manner and a whole different methodology of people with autism and people that have been diagnosed as schizophrenic, and perhaps teach them how to be able to live in both spaces and how to, because autistic people have different issues than those that have schizophrenia. And if we could take more of a spiritual aspect of assisting them to understand their parallel universe or their holograms, whatever you wish to call it, wow, wouldn't that be a great thing?
Yes, and of course there is some work going on like that. Stan Grof, the psychiatrist, who talks about the holotropic principle, and he wrote a book called The Psychology of the Future, and he indeed understands what we are discussing here this evening. And there was such a thing now, it's called holotropic breath work, of course, and these seminars are given throughout the world, our world, and they're very, very effective ways of integrating both realms of existence. But, you know, one of the things that I see needs to happen is that we need to realize that all of us are unique frequencies. I mean, David Bohm, a physicist who passed to the other side not too many years ago, but he really understood this idea that we really have to integrate this tremendous realm of information that physics now is calling the zero-point field, or the mind of God, if you will, that Albert Einstein talked about. But this field of energy, and we talk about, you know, psychology and medicine, but it's all about energy medicine, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Exactly. And, you know, I have a lot of people that are on this show, John, from a wide array of different principles, I guess, of energy type work that they do, and have presented it to the audience. And so there's, for me, energy healing or energy work is just a natural part of who we are.
We are light beings, and one of the things I'm asked, you know, a lot of times, are we becoming light beings? I said, no, we are light beings. and the example I give
it.
Is Well, the example I give is Rebecca, is that, you know, let's say you have a light bulb in your dining room with a dimmer switch. Now tell me, when the dimmer switch is down, is the light bulb more a light bulb when it's down or when it's burning bright? It's still a light bulb, it's just that the power is turned down, right?
Exactly.
So we are still light bulbs, we are still light beings, only the dimmer switch is turned down on most of us.
Yes, exactly, on many people, you bet. And that's a true statement right there, that truly is. Because it's all about remembering that those are uniquely who we are. And I was glad that you brought up the fact that we're all, even though we're all human beings, well, most of us are anyway, on the earth, we all have a unique energy signature. That's how I always view people, as an energy signature. So I tap
yes.
into, everyone has a very, very unique one, because everyone's experiences have been different through their many experiences, what I call incarnated and non-incarnated, and whether it be on this plane of existence or another dimension or in between dimensions or whatever they were doing, everything that they have done up to that point has made them extraordinarily unique. So even though we share many similarities as the human race, we're also very, very unique.
Well, just think of this evening. Look at the weather. In both of our areas, you in the heartland and me up in the Pacific Northwest this evening, we've got snow on the ground. We've got snow flying here. And all those snowflakes are unique. Now, that really is an amazing thing to say. The fractal geometry of a blade of grass or a snowflake, when all these snowflakes come together, they look like they're the same, but they're not. Every one is a specific, unique geometry at the micro level. And to me, that is what we're talking about, isn't it? We're talking about the uniqueness of every being.
Absolutely. And with that, what we're going to do is we're going to take a short break. We'll come back with more of John Harper and Transformers, Shamans of the 21st Century. Don't go away. Hi, this is Rebecca Jernigan. You know, sometimes my schedule does not always allow for me to get to all the inquiries to have a reading. And sometimes I just can't get to everyone as quick as they would need answers. Well, now I have a solution. I am teaming up with my colleagues at the American Association of Professional Psychics. They are there 7 days a week with a very special group of experienced professional psychics. And they have been offering quality psychic readings by phone since 1989. You know, I also know that by using American Association of Professional Psychics, you can be sure the psychic you connect with has been tested and certified for ethics, professionalism, and proven psychic ability. So call now or anytime, 1-800-717-7887. It's still just $3.99 per minute using a major credit card or debit card. But it does get better. Here's a special offer. If you purchase time for a psychic reading from their website, you'll get a 50% discount. Go to certifiedpsychics.com. Take advantage of the savings. Readings are regularly $3.99 per minute. Why not get 50% off? And that web address is certifiedpsychics.com, or just click on the banner from my front page. So go ahead, call today, 1-800-717-7887, American Association of Professional Psychics.
Fate Magazine, providing true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now, 800-728-2730. Or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Hello, I'm Jane Goodall. Only half of the world's forests and wetlands that existed at the start of the 20th century still exist today. We must do a far better job of protecting wildlife habitats, or environmental chaos awaits those who follow us. If you own land you want kept safe forever, the Wildlife Land Trust can help. Call 1-800-729-SAVE. 1-800-729-SAVE.
More than talk, it's entertaining insight and discoveries. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
All right, welcome back. We're here with John J. Harper. We're talking about Transformers, Shamans of the 21st Century. Lest I forget, let me go ahead and give you that email address again for questions later on that we'll be taking. It's mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com, or you can instant message us from Yahoo, and that ID is journeyswithrebecca, all one word. And don't forget about the chat feature, which is located if you go to the front page of my website, it's right there on the right-hand side. So go in and join in the chat. Lots of fun there. We will be taking those questions and emails and phone calls in the second hour of the show with John J. Harper. All right. John, let's see. There was a couple questions that I had for you. I was kind of thinking about this during the break. One of the things that I wanted to talk to you about was the fact that you have talked about some of the rediscovered myths of the not forgotten civilizations, such as the Mayans and Egyptians and the schools of thought that by the so-called Freemasons. I'd like to kind of hear some more information on that, because I know, obviously, with the 2012 quickly approaching, the Mayans, of course, the Mayan culture and the Egyptian culture has been pretty strong, especially here in the United States and I think throughout the world. So I'd love to hear, you know, some communication on that, because I think that's just going to be fascinating.
Yes, indeed. You know, one of the great shocks, I guess, of my studies, you know, I began in the late 1980s investigating such things as the near-death experience, out-of-body experience, and then the metaphysics of paranormal psychology, et cetera. And remember, I came from a classic background of electronics engineering, computer science. I did have some psychology, but I was not into the ancient wisdom traditions or any of the metaphysical knowledge that is so interesting and is bringing you know, so many of us together, I think, for these types of conversations now. But one of the things that progressed as I looked at the physics and metaphysics, as I looked at science and religion and trying to bridge that gap between those two disciplines, I came to especially Egyptian teachings that, of course, are steeped in the Old Testament of the Bible, then also the New Testament in many ways now is coming forth through the Freemasons and, you know, the different things that have gone on with all these metaphysical traditions that were kind of fringe, you know, that were tried to, they tried to stomp some of this knowledge out, supposedly. I don't know if we have proof of that, but certainly there was an attempt to push it aside and, you know, rewrite history, if you will, from the Egyptian civilization and I assume the Mayan civilization as well. But the point, I guess, that I came to ultimately was that there's knowledge trying to come forward to teach us about the earth changes that are manifesting now. We see these in the climate changes, but I believe now that science is coming on board with these ideas in terms of a catastrophic melting of the polar ice caps, and I believe that this is going to lead to an electromagnetic pole shift on or around 2012 that will change civilization as we know it today.
And that's part of your futurist things that you do, correct?
Well, yes, that's true. I saw these events in terms of, you might say, visions over a period of years. As I would study something, I would have, during different times, you know, a lull in this and just, you know, nothing, 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 then a tremendous series and burst of synchronicities would occur. People would come and talk to me about a certain topic that I was studying, or I would come to a book or a reference that I had no business uncovering on my own, because my left brain logic just wasn't taking me there. And it was like, you know, the universe was saying, John, wake up. There's a purpose and a meaning behind what you're studying, and, you know, this is where you need to go with this. And so that would usually lead me into a meditative state or a trance-like state, and again, this idea that my third eye was opening. And I would sometimes see a vision of something, an earth change, for example, but more often than not, there would be an overwhelming feeling would come to me that was confirming the truth of something. And specifically what I'm talking about is the idea that I believe that our mind is actually in going around the globe, the North and South Pole, the electromagnetic fields, in other words, is the consciousness of the human being.
Interesting. Well, I do know that, you know, we, as human beings, we are affected by, obviously, electromagnetic fields. I mean, that's proven scientifically over and over again. And, you know, the different, even in the moon phases, you know, it affects the emotional state, and it affects the weather patterns, here on the Earth, you know, during full moon phases and new moon phases. Part of that's all part of, you know, all of the energies that we're talking about in electromagnetics. And I do know that they can be disruptive as well to the human body, the electromagnetic. So obviously, you know, if there's a pole shift, that's certainly going to, I guess the word would be an understatement, would be stress out the human.
It'll depend upon our preparation, Rebecca. Those of us who've experienced these metaphysical events, I believe, are being prepared to really survive the experience of the pole shift in consciousness. Now, remember Valerie Hunt, Dr. Valerie Hunt, who was at UCLA, neurophysiologist, who did studies back probably 15, 20 years ago or even more. And I have talked with Valerie, but it's been probably 10 years now. But I remember specific experiments that she did at UCLA where she put students, subjects in experiments, in a cage, a Faraday cage, which is a metal shield, if you will, from electromagnetic signals, so she could regulate the magnetic intensity of the environment that a given subject was in. The point is that when magnetism fell, when it dropped off, folks became very disoriented and actually became extremely violent, became very agitated and angry. Now think about the world we're in today. If the electromagnetic fields are changing rapidly, as we see in the weather fronts, in other words, like you were mentioning, if in phases of moon cycles, full moon, new moon, in between, and then you correlate that with a tremendous alignment that the Mayans are talking about, with the center of the Earth and the Sun lining itself up in December 21st, 2012, with the black hole at the center of the galaxy, we know that that core galaxy is a magnetic field. It is a tremendous field of magnetism, as is our Sun, for example. And so you can think of this as magnets. These are magnets lining up the Earth, our solar system, the Sun, with this huge magnet at the core of the Milky Way galaxy. And if that is the case, and I'm saying that it is, based on my studies, that we are going to experience tremendous shifts in mood and also thought.
Can you determine what that would be? Or
What it will be is a bipolar manic depressive type event. In other words, if you don't have all of your quote issues unquote worked out by then, they will be exacerbated at the same time others around you are experiencing their issues and processing them. And then who do you turn for help? You know, I mean, Ghostbusters.
Well, there you go.
Okay. And so the real problem, as I see it, is as the Earth changes and the human being changes and the climate changes, and you end up with this, you know, kind of an avalanche effect, if you will, where systems are breaking down while people are breaking down. And if you have a climate crisis at the same time, where food production's impacted, transportation, medical facilities, etc., then you've got, you know, this is a, you know, Mad Hatter's Tea Party, no RSVP required.
Right.
And so I believe this is what the, you know, the Hopis and the Mayans and so on and so forth were getting at, that the changes are going to be so compounded by a multiplicity of things that they will overwhelm society.
So what's a person to do? I mean, obviously we have to work on our issues and we have to clear those up, but it goes beyond that, I'm sure. I mean, one could sit here and say, well, you know, I forgive my parents, or, you know, forgive my brother or my sister, or, you know, that kind of thing.
But yes, I mean, that's what you say, maybe starting at the grassroots, but just
right.
Think about our neighbors, for example. I mean, I've been in a home here in the Southfield Medical District of Spokane, Washington for almost 15 years, and I don't even know my neighbors because they either change so quickly, they're so mobile, they come and they go, or the ones that are here don't really socialize with anyone. So my point is, who are you going to turn to? If you haven't developed a spiritual community or a community based on trust at any level, and the systems break down, where are you going to go to be fed, watered, and, you know, just basics of life? And I think this is going to have to be addressed here very soon if we're going to avert a real calamity.
Well, and I think, and I agree with that, and that's one of the things that for probably about the last year that I've actually been trying to communicate with the audience and bring forth people such as yourself to make them aware this is not about being in fear, this is about being prepared, and this is about raising your vibrations, this is about raising your awareness and your consciousness and really kind of waking up, kind of like the conversation that you had with yourself about wake up. It's the universe's way of saying wake up. You know, and I've been saying all along that this is not status quo. It's not business as usual anymore.
That's
you know,
right.
We really have to focus on other things, the important things, because when all is said and done at the end of the day or at the end of the time frame, the things that we're concerned about now is not going to matter at all.
That's
and
right.
We have to be prepared for all of that as well.
Well, and the thing of it is, we have this huge infrastructure now that is very capable of taking care of some of these concerns that I have. If we just simply wake up, and I really believe that the scientific community, as it comes on board with these ideas more and more, and I do believe it will, that we'll see a dramatic shift in resource allocation, and we will focus on some of these concerns in terms of climate change. And I'm talking way beyond global warming, folks. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, when I just found two science articles that were published within the last week at Ohio State University, where they now believe that the Greenland ice cap will be totally melted by the summer of 2012. Now, isn't that a coincidence? When only a couple years ago they were saying it was going to be 2040, 2 years before that it was 2060, 5 years before that it was 2099. And back when I was in college, back in the 60s, these polar ice caps melted over a period of centuries.
Right.
Not years.
Right, right.
Okay, so this acceleration of knowledge and this acceleration of climate change are tied together. In other words, we're waking up in real time as the Earth is basically kicking us in the butt to wake up and saying, pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. And the reason that that's happening is so we can survive it.
Well, exactly. I mean, because we are supposed to, and we're supposed to bring forth a much better place than where we're at right now.
And we will.
And we will. And that is the whole point behind all of this, is that we will. But we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, John, one of the things that I want to talk to you about is the, I think you had an idea that you called it the donut, and it's about the shape, I think, of things in the fifth dimension, and there's a whole bunch of other things that we need to talk about. So when we come back from break, we're gonna talk about those things. You guys, don't go away. We're gonna be right back.
Be sure to check out Mark Kerr's debut CD, One Drink Away from the Blues, at www.cdbaby.com. This flawless debut performance earned Mark an induction into the Blues Hall of Fame as Ambassador to the Blues for the state of Louisiana. Also, it earned him a nomination for Musician of the Year in 2006 by the Academy of Texas Music. Mark Kerr, One Drink Away from the Blues, at www.cdbaby.com.
First day to be a big brother. Maybe I'll take him to a movie. No, not big enough. I'll take him to a carnival. Yeah, we can go on a Ferris wheel. It's gotta be big. It's gotta be huge.
Hi, I'm Alex.
Hey, Alex. I'm Felipe. What do you want to do today?
I was thinking maybe watch the game on TV.
Yeah, cool. I was thinking that too.
When you're a mentor, it doesn't matter what you do. The important thing is spending time together. to be a mentor, go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org. A public service message brought to you by Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and the Ad Council.
Talk with an intuitive touch. Journeys with Rebecca.
All right, welcome back. We're here with John J. Harper talking about Transformers, Shamans of the 21st Century. And lest I forget, let's go ahead and give out John's website. It's www.johnjharper.com. You can go to his website, find out all kinds of really good information as we're carrying on this conversation tonight. And don't forget, in the next hour, we are going to be answering your emails. That's mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. Also, we will be taking those instant messages, and that is at Yahoo, and the address is Journeys with Rebecca, all one word. And we will be giving out the phone number, too, in the second half of the show, so feel free to call in on the second half of the show and ask John or myself a question. So, John, okay, one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about was somewhere I was reading in the wealth of information that I have sitting here in front of me, is that you are using the term, I want to say, is it Taurus?
Taurus, yes.
Taurus.
The donut shape or the bagel shape, yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you're saying that in the center of that is the fifth dimension. I mean, if we're talking linear conversation here so that people can kind of get an idea, but if it's a donut shape and the inside of this donut is the fifth dimension, and that is where we can, as you would say, access all information.
Yes, cosmic consciousness would be at the center of that. That would be the zero-point field of physics, the mind of God that others refer to, perhaps even the Akashic Records. When I say Akashic Records, though, I'm referring really to the electromagnetic fields of the Earth, but certainly there must be a cosmic level, and that would be at the center of that Taurus, bagel or donut shape. Now this is physics that has merit to it. Stan Tannen, who's a mathematical physicist, someone who has looked at this torus shape from a spiritual as well as a scientific standpoint for about 30 years now. Stan Tannen is really the father of this knowledge. I mean, he's really brought this to the world. It's very sophisticated, but he was able to take the original text in the Old Testament in Genesis, in the original languages of the Old Testament, and decode them. Now, this sounds like the Bible code, and it is in a sense, but it's even way more sophisticated and mature than that. And the diagram that I have in my book, and et cetera, it boils down to this, Rebecca, that we are standing in the center all the time, you might say, of a hologram that is in the shape of a torus or a donut. And this means that the zero-point field of energy from which everything comes and everything returns constantly, every second, we're flashing in and out of the zero-point field. I mean, this is good physics now. And so the idea is we're standing here in this hologram, and remember the definition of a hologram. Holo in Greek means whole, gram means message. So we're standing in a whole message all the time. And the information or energy, the fields of light that we are and is creating everything around us at every split second, is in the center of this huge donut. This is the great revelation of the mathematical physics of Stan Tannen. And it takes a while to get used to this, but once you visualize it and see the graphics and spend some time with this, you realize that we're constantly in the presence, you might say, of God. And to me, this was a great truth that I really needed for my own feeling of well-being, I guess, because I realized I was never separated from the presence of the Creator. I was never separated from the goodness, all the good things. And that's going to become important, too, as we go through these crises. And I think that's why maybe we're having this conversation right now, Rebecca, that we need to regain the high ground, so to speak, and feel good and secure about where we are in creation, that we're not being punished necessarily because of the earth changes. And I want, that's my message anyway. I don't believe that anymore. I believe that we're in a natural cycle of cataclysmic change that is going to bring overwhelming good to the greater world called Earth, Gaia, Mother Earth. And so, again, the physics is important because it gives us a metaphysical grounding in spirit.
Well, and, you know, I appreciate all of that, what you have just said, because I think it's very important. I know for my own self, John, and for many people that I have personally spoken to, is that there has been, as I was growing up until I got to be, you know, in my adulthood, it seemed as if that God was all elusive. You know, it's like somebody was telling you how to feel or what to say or what God's message was. And when I bypassed that and found my own way of connecting, which, you know, is obviously through the methodology that you're talking about, it became very, very clear to me that we are not separate, that we are of, and the more and more that we can make that connection to that energy, to that source, the source that all that is, the better for individually speaking. And of course, if the individuals are doing well, then as a mass or a whole or as a collective, we all do well as well.
Yes, so. In fact, to bring kind of this full circle and maybe just summarize what we've talked about this first hour real quickly, you know, we talked a little bit about autism, schizophrenia, and some mm-hmm. of the mental health disorders. Just think, if we realize that the goal of the human body is to process this entire information stream through us and then select out of it what we want to focus on, what our intention is to transform that energy, it brings a different way of looking at what our purpose here is on the earth. And that would be simply to ground this energy, literally ground it. In other words, when you suffer a mental disorder, a lot of times you're not in your body. You know,
true.
A therapist, when I've been with others and I've experienced this myself, I would get to a point of confusion and fear or chaos, and what I would find is I wasn't really in my body. I was up in my mind, up in the upper realms, thinking about something, and what I really needed to do was calm down and bring that energy back in and through the chakra system, through my circuits of consciousness, and ground that. And then I found out, you know what, Rebecca, that the problems usually resolve themselves. And that led me to an insight that the energy is chaotic outside of us, and if we bring it through us and ground it, it will stabilize. And that's what we are, and that's what the earth is. It's a huge transformer of consciousness, of energy, of light, of information.
So it's a conductor. We're all conductors.
Yes, we are these light bulbs, these fifth dimensional. And again, the fifth dimension in physics is light. That is what fifth dimension means in physics.
Yes, absolutely. That's, you know, this is just absolutely uplifting. I this is very cool stuff right here, John. And I have to tell you is that I as we've been sitting here and we're talking about raising of the consciousness, you know, you have just given everyone a kind of a different perspective on that we do need to be, because we all decided to be here in physical form at this time. So that means that we have to be present in this physical form. That doesn't mean we have to be of the third dimension in the sense of not being awakened or being concerned with this, but we do have to function here because this is where our energy is, and this is what we're here to transform on this earth plane.
That's the earth itself.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The earth itself will turn into a light being when the light is turned up. I believe that 2012 will be a major point, you might say, where we finally come together with enough collective consciousness to begin the serious work of transformation of this planet.
And, you know, I have talked to many people, and I'm sure you've done the same thing as well, John, is that really what this 2012 is about is some people call it the end times, and I call it the beginning times, because it's the beginning of a change, because the earth herself is going to ascend. That's what some people call it, the ascension process. She is going to ascend, and those that are on the earth are supposed to go there with her by helping her to get there. So these are kind of like birthing pains, these I guess through history, you know, we've had these Earth changes before. This is not the first time, and it
probably
won't be the last.
I call 2012 the strange attractor, because in chaos theory, what we're in right now, Rebecca, is we're at the early stages of chaos. We have not entered chaos, but chaos always leads to more order, always.
It does, and that's a true statement, because out of chaos does come order.
Yeah.
And that's the whole premise behind all of this. And so, you know, that's why I'm really glad that we brought up the point, and you brought up the point earlier about, you know, learning how to get your energy, your vibrations together, because what are you going to do when the change happens and everybody else around you is falling apart? Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? And it's kind of interesting how electromagnetics affect us mentally, emotionally, and physically. And so I think that's a good focal point for people is to get their issues resolved and learn how to get themselves grounded. And, you know, one of the things that I talk about an awful lot on my shows is about meditation. And in that process of meditation is a step that I do with everyone. It's grounding, centering, and focusing. And grounding is the most important thing, is because that's where, because we are here. A lot of times I think people forget that we are third-dimensional beings, in as much as that we're experiencing it in physical form. We're much greater than that, but we are in this because we chose to be here to do this, for this transformational process.
Yes, and what we're called to do is to go from beyond electromagnetics to zero-point field energy. Zero-point field energy is superconductivity. If you've heard of that term, that's what it means. And the electromagnetics is a point of resistance. When you have a magnetic field and you move it, you generate electricity. When you have an electric field and you move it, you generate magnetism. The key point here is we're going to fifth-dimensional magnetic beings. Those are also zero-point or light beings.
Okay, so, you know, let's talk about the zero-point, because Greg Braden was a person that brought out a book years back called Zero Point. Was it Zero Point Gravity or Zero Point?
Yes, Awakening
to
Zero
Point. Right. I knew I could remember it here in just a second. And there's other peoples too that have brought up this zero point, where my understanding was from everyone is that it was where there was nothing. It was like a void. But you're saying it's quite the opposite.
Yes, and so does Greg Braden. Greg Braden and I go back way, way back, many, many years. I've had him here speaking locally in my area,
right.
And he and I sat down in Seattle, Washington many years ago and had some chats. But the point is that, the zero point is actually the fullness, but the void means that there's no resistance there. It is omnipresent everywhere at once, and in zero point field physics, that is the source of consciousness. That is the source of all energy and information. So, again, this is the Taurus going back to the center point, as you were saying about being centered. It's exactly what we're talking about here.
So there's a lot of things that we can certainly do for ourselves as well as for each other to get us to that point, so that when these, you know, these earth changes, you know, happen, and they are happening even as we speak, they've been obviously accelerating for several years now, and they will continue to do so because of the celestial events and the, you know, the whole historical thing that's going on out in the, you know, in our universe, and I'm sure there's probably other universes that are experiencing the same things as well. And there's many things that we can do, and so when we come back, we'll be taking a break here shortly, and when we come back, I'd like to maybe get into some of that, and I know I have a few questions here for some people as well that we'll be taking in the next hour of the show. So I'm pretty excited about getting more and more into this, because the more knowledge that people have, the better equipped that we are to handle all of this, and that's what's really good about this. So what I'd like to do now, though, is to let everyone know that we'll be taking questions in the second hour. Please go ahead and instant message, and that's from Yahoo, and that would be Journeys with Rebecca. That's all one word. You can also mailbag at journeyswithrebecca.com if you have an email question. You can also write in the chat room during the break, and I will take your questions there and then ask John when we come back in the second hour of the show. And then when we come back, I will also be giving out the phone number, and we will be taking calls. And just as a reminder, we will only take one call at a time. So let's go ahead, and I'm going to give you your website. It's www.johnjharper.com. And before we go on our break, would you go ahead and let people know how they can get your book and any other information, John?
The easiest way is to go to johnjharper.com, johnjayharper.com, and look at the many options there. It's available at all major bookstores, but I've got a special deal online right now with my blog site. And so for the holidays, you can pick it up for basically half price if you come through me. So that's, that might be good for some folks as a gift.
Absolutely.
I think that the most important thing, though, is that we share this information and get it out there, and everything else kind of take care of itself, I believe.
Oh, it will. And, you know, when we come back, too, I want to talk, because you have an awful lot of diagrams and things in your book, and I'd like to bring that up. So you guys, don't go away. We're going to be right back with more of John J. Harper and Transformer, Shamans of the 21st Century. Hi, this is Rebecca Jernigan. I would like to share with you some information about my friends and colleagues at the American Association of Professional Psychics. Here are their founding principles to uplift the public image of professional psychics. Distinction through ethics, professionalism, and credibility. To provide positive press and publicity for certified psychics. To provide assurance that certified psychics are authentic, ethical, and professional. So please check them out, certifiedpsychic.com, or call 1-800-717-7887. Again, that's 800-717-7887. You'll be glad you did.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine, containing articles by experts in all walks of life and by others just like you who have something dramatic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on all aspects of the paranormal, angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now 800-728-2730. Or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate waits.
The songs on your radio are brought to you by sound waves, frequency, and amplitude. By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in technology, but parents can help make it fun. Visit girlsgotech.org. A message from the Girl Scouts and Ad Council.